If you would like to grab your New Testaments and turn to Luke, the 17th chapter, Luke chapter 17, we'll begin there in a few seconds. It's good to see everyone back again here this evening, and it's certainly commendable that you are here on this night. On Facebook earlier today, I saw one of my friends that I graduated with in high school inviting some people through his status to their viewing of the Super Bowl party at his congregation. He said, well, come watch the Super Bowl and hear a portion of God's Word. And I don't really know how they're going to connect the two, but it's certain that their priorities are out of whack, and certainly that wouldn't be something that is authorized by the Lord. But it is something that is causing many to miss services, whether perhaps there are some members of the church that might be missing for that reason, and certainly those individuals in the denominations and throughout the world are placing the Super Bowl, a football game, above their priorities of serving God and above the importance that is in God's Word. And I commend you for placing the importance in your life in God's Word and the study of it and the praise of Him and worship of Him. It's certainly something that takes precedence in a Christian's life and should be displayed in our faith with regard to us being here. In Luke, the 17th chapter, we see our lesson introduced, and right here we see in verse 5, the apostles proclaim to the Lord and ask Him to increase our faith. Now I want to go back to the first verse to set the context and look at what elicited that statement from the apostles, and then what was Christ's reaction, or what was His statement that followed that of their statement to increase their faith. And it's certainly a good subject to study about faith and walking in faith and what that means and what we need to do to have that great faith in order to please God. Beginning in verse 1 of Luke, the 17th chapter, he said to the disciples, that is Jesus, "It is impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him through whom they do come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourself. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns to you, saying, 'I repent,' you shall forgive him." The apostle said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." What Jesus says here is something that would seem hard to do. Forgiveness is a must, and forgiveness is certainly expected out of a Christian. We recognize that no one here is perfect, that all have sinned and fall short, and certainly there are going to be times where we might wrong each other. But we need to have the mind of Christ, and that He forgave us of our sins that were committed toward Him. And we are told to forgive others, even up to seven times a day if that individual were coming back and repenting and asking for forgiveness. We need to have that heart of grace and mercy and forgiveness and show that to them. Well, this is certainly something that takes a strong character, takes some faith to accomplish. And the apostles answered with that statement, "Increase our faith." This is something that is hard for us to comprehend or to do, that we should forgive a brother even if he sins against us seven times in that day and he continues to come back. We have to have that heart of forgiveness. And they recognized how great a characteristic that it takes to perform this work, to perform this object of faith and this display of faith that Christ would have them to perform. Increase our faith. I find it interesting, however, what the Lord's response is. Because what they might have been expecting is for Him to give them some formula that they would be able to plug into their lives and they would be able to increase their faith in some way or another. Something that was foreign to them or they hadn't thought of. Something that we look to and we might discover in ourselves when we ask the Lord to increase our faith, or when we see a lack of faith in our life. It might be that we look for something profound or something amazing or miraculous, perhaps even those in the world might look for, to increase our faith. We need something special. We have a lack of faith. We have to do these things for God, and what we need is faith to do them. And this is something so hard to do or so difficult for us to follow. We need more faith. Give us something else. But I want you to notice the Lord's response in Luke, the 17th chapter, and beginning in verse 6. He says, "If you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, 'Be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. And which of you, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, 'Come at once and sit down to eat'? But will he not rather say to him, 'Prepare something for my supper, and gird yourself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterward you will eat and drink'? Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. So likewise you, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say, 'We are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do.'" He starts off talking about the nature of faith and how much it can accomplish. He says, if you had the faith as a mustard seed, you would be able to tell this tree to move and be pulled up by the roots and planted in the sea. It would obey you. Now, what is misunderstood by this context and by this concept seen in this verse by the world is that with faith, we can do whatever it is we please. We trust in God and we want something, or we want to accomplish something. If we have enough faith, that will be able to be accomplished. What Christ is essentially saying here is that there are things that I'm going to command you to do. If you have faith, even as small as a mustard seed, there is nothing that is too hard for you to do with regard to what I command you. If it is in my will that you would do this, that I would command you to perform this duty or this work or this servitude in my stead, you will be able to do it, for I have commanded you to do so. That's what faith is. There is no increase of faith that the disciples needed. Rather, what they really needed was to understand the essence of faith, the concept of faith. And that's where he brings in this parable of this servant. A servant is not greater than his master, and a servant is expected to do what his master says. That servant should not receive praise or honor or any kind of thing because he did what his master told him to do. You might walk through life in different stores or in different situations or see on the TV the concept of parenthood these days and how twisted it is when it comes down to comparing it to the Bible. You have a kid who is told, go clean your room or go do this, do what I said. That kid does what the individual says, his parent tells him to do, commands him to do. And what he comes back with is, what do I get? What are you going to give me? What's my reward for doing what you told me to do? And it's not something wrong to maybe reward a child for doing something, but they certainly should not expect a reward. They didn't earn that. You just did what your parent told you to do. And so this was what is expected of you. This servant who went and he tilled the field and he made this meal and did all the work that was commanded him by his master did not walk up to his master and ask him for a reward or expect to be eating first or doing anything that the master should owe him. Rather, he said, I'm an unprofitable servant. This is what you should say. We are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. I just did what I was asked to do. I just did what is expected of me to do. That is what faith is composed of. If you have faith, you are going to do what God tells you to do. There's no lack of faith that we have and that we cannot do the things that are expected of us to do. If we don't do those things that are expected of us to do, it's because we are just being rebellious. We're not being obedient. Faith is doing those things. And what the Lord promises is that there's no temptation that can overtake us that we cannot withhold. And there is certainly no commandment He is going to give us to perform that we can't do. With God, all things are possible. He wouldn't set before us a situation that we could not perform, that He expects us to perform. Any command that we have, we can do. And how we show our faith, how we have faith, is to do what our Master told us to do. So how do you increase your faith? It is better understood what is composed of faith. What do we do to show our faith or to have faith? What does it mean to have faith? And maybe what does it mean to strengthen our faith? What are the things that are necessary for a Christian to do? If we are to live by faith and walk by faith, and by faith we are saved through grace, not of ourselves, it is the gift of God. What is composed of that? What is included in having faith toward God? It is like he said, we are to do what our master told us to do. And if we have faith, there's nothing that he tells us to do that we can't do. That's what his illustration was with the mustard seed and the tree that grows, or the tree that you tell to be moved and it is uprooted. We can do those things. If it is God's will, if he permits us to do those things, if he commands us to do those things, We will do them. And that is our faith. That is what faith means. But ultimately, in order to know what to do, in order to have faith, we must first study God's Word. Romans, the 10th chapter in verse 17, simply tells us that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. There's a reason for this. It follows along with his parable, he says in Luke 17, that if you are having faith, it means you are doing what your master says, not because you're seeking a reward or not because you expect a reward, but because this is your duty. This is the expectation from God. And doing those things shows your faith. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God, because the Word of God is the divine instruction, the revelation of His will. How do we know what to do? How can we have faith if we do not have the instruction on how to live our lives? It's impossible. We must know Him. We must know His will. We must know His requirements. We must live as a faithful servant through the knowledge of His Word and the obedience to it. Notice in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and beginning in verse 5, we'll read when he's talking about these Israelites and these individuals who passed through the sea and were under the cloud and were baptized and all of these things, and they drank of that spiritual rock, which is Christ, and all of these similarities and parallels that they have with us. Essentially, they had salvation if they obeyed in God. That salvation was through the same Savior, which was Christ, which was understood to be coming before. They drank of that spiritual rock, which is Christ. Notice in verse 5, with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Their faith failed. They didn't do what God would have them to do. They rebelled against God. They disobeyed His will. They had a lack of faith. How do we have our faith in our lives? Perhaps, if you will, how do we increase our faith? Like the apostles asked, we look at these things as our examples so that we don't make the same mistakes. He says, do not become idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, these people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Notice in verse 11. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. The Old Testament written for our learning. We can learn from their mistakes. We can even learn from their achievements, what they did that was pleasing to God. We can learn from the book of Acts and the recorded history of the start of the church and the things that were happening, the things the apostles preached, the conversions that were taking place, and the failures even that were taking place, the mistakes. Those are written for us to learn from them. And ultimately, the record of the Israelites in the wilderness was written so that we might not make the same mistakes they make. It is through the Word of God and reading the Word of God that we attain faith, because what we see is His instruction. And since we know what He would instruct us to do, we can do it. And that's a display of faith. That is having faith. 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, and in verse 16, we recognize that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Essentially, if we were to ask to increase our faith, and what we were looking for is some miraculous or unheard of or some crazy experience to happen or something He said to us that we've never heard or never expected, and that would increase our faith, and we could take that and increase our faith, that would contradict this verse. The Scripture makes the man of God complete. The Scripture thoroughly equips us for every good work. Those good works that we are to walk in, those good works that we are created in Christ Jesus, are those things we do, and essentially because we do them, we have faith. We believe in God, we believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him, and what we do is act on that. We see that in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, those individuals acted on this. Notice in Luke, the 16th chapter, in the record of the rich man and Lazarus, And we see he gets to the point where the rich man recognizes that I can't cross over this great gulf. What's done is done. I disobeyed God, and I'm in torments right now in Hades. This Lazarus had obeyed God, and he is in paradise in Abraham's bosom. But you can't cross over one from another. Notice what he said in his concern about his family. He said, I beg you, therefore, Father, that you would send him, that is Lazarus, to my father's house. For I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. Essentially, what he is saying is that the Scripture, the Word of God, is sufficient for their faith. If they are to have faith through hearing the Word of God, they can do the things necessary to escape torments and be in paradise at the end of their physical life, to ultimately secure that place in heaven, that inheritance that is promised to those who would love God. Scripture is sufficient. We want to have great faith. We want to have a faith that is a saving faith. That is that faith that displays our obedience to God, that displays our trust in Him, and ultimately secures our place in heaven, that ensures our election and makes that call and election sure. Then we are going to be equipped through the Scripture, not through any fancy thing, not through an individual raising from the dead and coming and telling you, you better watch out. It says the Scripture is sufficient. This is how we individually make sure we have that faith that is pleasing to the Lord. Study His Word. Recognize that we must do those things to please Him and find where they are instructed for us. Philippians, the fourth chapter, and in verse 13, the Apostle Paul, in speaking about spiritual things that are expected of him to do, he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It is not without Christ that we are able to do these things. It is Christ who strengthens us. And that's why when we obey the Master, as that servant was supposed to say, I've just done the things that were commanded of me to do. I'm an unprofitable servant. All the glory goes to God because it is through His strength. How do we know how to please God? He graciously reveals His will to us. He reveals His instruction, what we must do. And it is through Christ that strengthens us that we are able to do those things because He has spoken those things to us. He has given us the instruction and the strength. Galatians, the second chapter, and in verse 20, the Apostle Paul said, it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And how does that occur? How is it that Christ is living in Paul? How is it that it's through Christ who strengthens him, he is able to be content? He is able to preach the gospel. He is able to have a faith unwavering and unfeigned. It is because he has the Word of God in his heart. Colossians, the third chapter, and in verse 16, we see the instruction given by the Apostle Paul to let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in the psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. When Paul said, it is no longer I who live, Christ lives in me, it means that he's given instruction from Christ and he's following the instruction. He's displaying his faith and he has faith because he's doing what he is told. Christ is living in him. Can it be said that Christ is living in us? If it can be said, that means we have obeyed the Word of God that we have studied. And through that, we have the faith that is required of us. God gives us what is expected of us. It does not take any supernatural ability or occurrence in order to obey Him. Faith is taking God at His word, doing what He commands us while trusting Him. And He ensures us that we can do those things that we must do. And we must pray about these things. We recognize study is certainly valuable, but prayer is valuable in addition to the study. We pray to God for strength. We pray to God for knowledge and wisdom. But it does not just fall down on us and cascade upon us miraculously. It comes through diligence, study of His Word. In Mark, the ninth chapter, we see an example of a prayer an instance where someone asked the Lord for an increase of faith or asked the Lord for faith. And it's certainly something that we must do as well if we expect to live a life of service to God. Mark the 9th chapter, when this boy with the spirit inside of him causing him to be deaf and lame, and these things were happening because of this unclean spirit in verse 25. We recognize the reaction of his father in verse 24, and he said, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." Just before that, Jesus had said something similar to his disciples of what he told them in Luke 17, that you can do these things if you believe in God. He said, if you believe, all things are possible to him who believes. All things in accordance with God's word. We ask and pray for God to increase our faith, or to give us strength, to show us the knowledge of his word and give us wisdom. It is never going to happen that we fail him as long as we continue to do those things. We have faith by doing those things, and we pray to God for the strength to do so. We recognize this in James the 5th chapter and in verse 16, when James writes to these individuals to confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another, because the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. One that is righteous, that he is doing the things that are right and that are given by God for us to do. The one that is obedient to God is one who is going to be in a value of his prayer. His prayers are going to be heard. His prayers are going to be accepted. His prayers are going to be answered. And we recognize the promise of God to do so. In 1 John the 5th chapter and in verse 14, John writes that this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And that coincides with the concept we've already talked about. We can do the things necessary to please him. Having the faith of a mustard seed does not mean that we can go out and wish for a car and it'll show up, or that we can jump really high and we'll be able to jump really high, or that we can change anything physically or do anything outside of God's will. What it means is that God has commanded us to do things, and if we ask for that guidance in his word, we receive that guidance and we are able to fulfill these things. We ask according to his will, because that's the precedence, that's the importance, and that's the only thing that he would have for us to do. James the 1st chapter and in verse 5, we have a record given us, or an instruction given us, of what to do when we feel we lack something. Do we just sit there and wait for it to come upon us? No, we pray for it. It says, if any one of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. We have to trust that God will grant us those things that are necessary to carry out his will that he has given us. We pray for those things. He is just and faithful to give us those things. But it is not without our own effort. It is not without us meeting him halfway. We pray for wisdom, and part of praying for wisdom and having faith in that prayer is to attain that wisdom through his word, a diligence in study. This is where we get the instruction. This is where we get the wealth of wisdom, is through his words. God in these last days has spoken to us by his son in Hebrews the 1st chapter. And his son has given the helper to the apostles. And through the inspired writings of them, we have the holy word of God, the instruction on what to do to be pleasing to him. And it is through study of that and through prayer and guidance from God through the Holy Spirit in his word that we are able to have this faith that is pleasing to him. And of course, we must do these things. We must study to know what to do. We must pray for the strength and guidance in his word. And we must do these things. It does not profit us anything to study and know and not do. That does not give us faith. That is not faith. That is not a display of obedience toward God. Hebrews 11 and verse 6 says that without faith it is impossible to please him. We must know that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That implies action. Diligently seeking him. And through that entire chapter of faith in Hebrews 11, that's what we see. By faith, Noah built an ark. By faith, these individuals did something. That's what faith is. It is taking God at his word and doing what he says, having trust in him and understanding that he will reward us. James, the 2nd chapter, he highlights this concept of faith and works. And really, faith is a work. Faith is doing what God says. He says, what does it profit, my brethren? If someone says he has faith, but does not have works, can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. We are told to do good deeds toward one another. This is one of the things that he uses to illustrate this point of faith and works. You don't perform a good deed by telling someone, go be warm and filled. Go get the things that you need. You display the faith and you have faith by aiding them in that, doing something for them. This is the faith that is displayed here. Notice in verse 21, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Verse 25, likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out of their way? The apostle said, increase our faith, and what Jesus would require them to do is forgive your brother. It's that simple. There's nothing special included in this. It is willful obedience to God. In John chapter 6, and in verse 38, Jesus says, I have come down from heaven not to do my own will. And this is not the right passage. We'll skip over that. When the apostles asked him what it is to have faith, essentially what Jesus says is to do those things which I would have for you to do. Faith is essentially an action. It is recognizing the command of God and having the faith to do those things. And if we don't have those works, it is not that faith that saves. It is not a faith that is pleasing to him. We ultimately see that in Ephesians, the second chapter, and beginning in verse 8, when the apostle writes to this church in Ephesus that by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We are prepared to walk in good works. We have been given good works that we are expected to do. What does it mean to live by faith? You do those works. It's that simple. Those individuals who do not do the works do not have the faith. And we ultimately see that in Matthew, the seventh chapter, at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. It says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. He goes on to say that whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like the foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came down, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. This is essentially about having faith. How do you have faith? You build your house, your life, on the foundation of God's word. He gives you instruction to live by. He tells you what to do. And these things he expects of you to do. Some of them may seem harder than others. How should I forgive a brother if he sins against me 7 times in a day and comes back repeatedly and asks for forgiveness? Seems like a hard thing to do. What Jesus instructs us to do is just forgive him. Do what is asked of you. That's having a great faith. That's doing those things which the Lord requires, and that he does not give us anything that is impossible for us to do within his will. These are things we must consider. These are things we must have in our life and display that great faith that is expected of us. If you are here this evening and you have not obeyed the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, it is appointed for you this time. God has given you this time. By his providence, he has allotted you this time to obey him so you can have that hope of an eternal life in heaven. It is only your fault and your problem if you walk away from this place without displaying your faith and obedience to the gospel. If you have obeyed the gospel but you've fallen short in some form or fashion, this time is given you as well to repent of your sins, to get your life right with him, be at peace with him once again. Be at fellowship with him and with us. If you have any of these spiritual needs that we can assist you with, we invite you to come forward at this time, right now, as we stand and sing the song of invitation.